This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with showrooms in Canterbury and Maidstone, offering a range of new and approved used cars, including MG, Seat and Vauxhall. Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Nicola Everett.
Hello, it's Wednesday, March the 16th. Hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, news on why the sky over Kent has been a very strange colour today. Plus, we'll have reaction from Gillingham's game last night. But first, it's been a while since we led with this on the podcast, but COVID cases in Kent have risen by almost 80% in a week. Latest figures show the number of people testing positive is at its highest level since early February, following a four-week dip in infections. Only one part of the county currently has an infection rate lower than the national average, and that's Gravesham. Well, our reporter Lydia Chandler-Hicks has been asking shoppers in Canterbury if they're still concerned about the virus.
I think less worried now because I've had all of the jabs. However, I think it's still important to sort of take precautions where it's necessary. For instance, when I go into shops or if I'm on public transport, I always wear masks. But sort of outside of that setting, I feel like so many people are walking around without masks and so on, it gets to a point where you almost have to go with the flow.
I just think that, you know, everyone's been amazing, and I just feel we've got to carry on being sensible, but we have to live our lives as well. And, you know, I know a lot of people have had a lot of tragedy and one thing and another, but and carry on washing our hands and, you know, just being sensible, really.
I think it's sensible to sort of be wary still. I know it isn't as bad as it was, but I'm of a certain age that it could be bad. So that's it.
Do you know, anecdotally, of many people at the moment who've
got it? Oh, gosh, yes. Positive? Yes, half my friends have got it. Yes. So I'm keeping my distance. At the moment, I think I feel safer wearing a mask than not.
I am quite worried, yeah. Very worried. I've got COPD, so I'm pretty worried about it, to be honest. So, like, I lost my mask, so my mum gave me this one, which I wear it when I go into shops, when it's crowded places. Other than that, yeah, when I'm out in the open.
You can head to the story at Kent Online for details on the current infection rate for where you live in Kent. And this news comes ahead of all COVID travel restrictions in the UK being removed on Friday before the Easter holidays next month. Meantime, Kent's public health director has raised concerns about the end of free COVID testing and less access to infection numbers. Dr. Anjan Ghosh says at a time when cases might actually increase, we will not have that much data, so it poses a bit of a risk. Well, Medway's public health director has also warned that it will make it harder to identify new variants.
Kent Online News.
At the top stories today, and police are investigating after a man in his 70s was found dead at a house in Sittingbourne. Forensic teams are still outside the property in London Road this afternoon. The Bishop of Dover has criticised the government's policy for refugees fleeing the war in Ukraine. Rose Hudson-Wilkins spoke of her rage and frustration at the Russian invasion. She's calling on everyone to provide aid and sanctuary to those who are running for their lives. Well, 5,500 Ukrainians have now been granted UK visas under the government's family scheme. A total of 20,000 applications have so far been submitted. Three Metropolitan Police officers who worked with Sarah Everard's killer have pleaded not guilty to sending grossly offensive messages to him. PCs Jonathan Cobbin and William Neville and ex-constable Joel Borders allegedly shared racist and misogynistic WhatsApp messages with Wayne Cousins, who's from Deal. The trio have been released on bail until their trial in July. More details are emerging about what led to the death of a baby after his mum was turned away from a maternity unit at a Kent hospital. She'd been told the facility at the QEQM in Margate was shut and she should go to Ashford's William Harvey Hospital instead. Archie Button died not long after being born in September 2019. An inquest is currently being held at Archbishop's Palace in Maidstone. An independent review into baby deaths in East Kent is also taking place. A man's due in court after several vehicles, including an occupied camper van, were set alight in Ramsgate. Thankfully, no one was injured when the fires broke out on Anne's Road in the early hours of Monday. But a 20-year-old has now been charged with 10 counts of arson and one count of reckless arson endangering life. A 19-year-old man who was also arrested has been released on bail. Now, green campaigners in Kent fear the current conflict in Ukraine is being used as an excuse to re-explore the idea of fracking for gas. There have been calls to look into new energy sources so we don't rely on supplies from Russia. But some say things like solar and wave power would be much better than drilling into the earth to release gas supplies. I've been speaking to Tunbridge-based Green councillor Mark Hood.
We need to keep fossil fuels in the ground as much as we can, and we need to make a transition to renewables as quickly as possible so that we can enjoy the kind of energy security that that this whole crisis has exposed our vulnerability with. So it's a nonsense. The idea that we're going to start fracking in the UK is for the birds.
Some people might not understand what fracking is all about. If in layman's terms you're able to just describe it for us and then explain your concerns about it.
Yeah, fracking, basically you pump a whole cocktail of chemicals and fluids down into the shale a strata of rock, which can contain the shale gas, and then basically that forces the gas to the surface where it can be collected, and then it's a replacement for conventional gas that we all know. But the dangers are that it can damage aquifers that we rely on for our drinking water. We've seen when it's been introduced in the north of England, in Cumbria, it's actually caused earth tremors.
You mentioned earlier that renewables should be the way forward and that's how we need to be getting our energy in future. What ideally would you like to see then?
We benefit hugely, don't we, because we've got wind farms all around us. Whenever you go to the seaside, you seem to be able to see a wind farm. So we're blessed by having that. We know that having onshore wind is much, much cheaper. Again, we're surrounded by the sea. So why aren't we harnessing the power of the waves? That is something that is, you know, tidal power is so predictable. So why aren't we looking at that? Why aren't we looking at harvesting the heat that's actually in our disused mine workings? That's happening across the north now. So why isn't the Kent coalfield being used for that? There's a whole, we've got solar energy. Kent County Council is spending a lot of money itself on setting up its own solar farms. So it's not as if we're not without options. And this is one that we just don't need it.
Thoughts there from Mark then. And now let's hear from Thanet MP Craig McKinley, who's among those who thinks fracking could be a viable option. He's been speaking to our political editor, Paul Francis.
It is used extensively by 25, 26 million people in the UK for their primary source of hot water and heating and cooking. And no matter what you think about the net zero dash, and, you know, we can discuss that, gas is going to be part of our energy mix for a very long time yet. Even the Climate Change Committee accept that even up to 2050 and beyond, gas is going to be providing a significant amount of our energy. My argument is we've got lots of it in the UK. Mother Nature blessed us with it. Why aren't we using it? It seems to make every sense. There's jobs, there's tax revenues, there's investment. What better way to do levelling up in parts of the country that we're now focusing on levelling up? And there's a huge CO2 saving. I don't think I need to tell you the CO2 effect of supercooling gas in the US or Trinidad, Tobago or Qatar, transporting it to halfway around the world on a diesel-powered ship and then putting it into our gas pipelines in the UK. That is not very efficient in terms of CO2. Far better to do it domestically.
I mean, one of the issues perhaps for the UK is that in terms of the kind of space that you see in America for shale gas extraction,
Well, of course.
We're much closer to communities,
Undoubtedly, but Pennsylvania in the US has a lot of shale, and that's quite a highly densely populated state. I heard one report that there is a shale gas well within just a few hundred yards of Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. So these things, once they're up and running and just gently ticking away, frankly, you wouldn't know that they were there. It's the drilling phase which can cause some of the issues that people are concerned about. But the Boland shale field that is across Lancashire and Yorkshire, I find it hard to believe there aren't some sites, quite a few sites, which are fairly remote and away from settled populations that should certainly be looked at this time. I mean, I've been arguing for this for some months, way before the Ukraine conflict, but I think it's put it into sharp focus as to where our money and Western money has been flowing into Putin's coffers to actually finance his war machine.
The UK currently has two fracking sites in Lancashire, which have been earmarked for closure after reports of earth tremors.
This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with car dealerships in Canterbury and Maidstone.
There's a warning after a Gillingham man was forced to withdraw cash by a group of builders who then carried out what he's described as poor quality work. The victim, who has brain damage, was taken to Aldi to withdraw £200 by men who claim to be from Medway Council's building services team. Police say they're aware of the allegation, while the council have told us that any staff attending a site would provide proof of ID. Boat sellers in Kent are being urged to look out for smugglers who might use dinghies to bring asylum seekers to the UK. The National Crime Agency has issued a fresh warning after as many as 800 people crossed the Channel yesterday. Boat owners have also been told to take extra security measures to protect their vessels and report any suspicious behaviour following a rise in thefts. Is Fiat farmland on the Isle of Sheppey could be covered in housing after it was put on the market for £2.5 million. Estate agents say Cowstead Farm on the way to Minster has significant development opportunities. The 249 acres could be sold together or divided into five separate lots. You can see a Google Earth view of the site by heading to the story at Kent Online. Now, chances are you've noticed today that the sky over Kent has been a pretty strange colour. Well, I'm joined now by Lauren Abbott, who can explain all. So Lauren, what's the reason for the orangey glow then?
Yes, Nick, the orange or yellow glow that you may have noticed in the skies above you in Kent today is actually being caused by dust that's carried all the way from the Sahara. For anyone who's been paying close attention to the news this week, you may recall some pictures from Europe where large clouds of the dust, which were caused by a sandstorm in the desert and then picked up and carried by Storm Celia, turned the skies in countries like Spain and Portugal and parts of Germany bright yellows and oranges. It's also affected visibility, and in some cases, because of a plume of hot air in Europe, it's also affected the air quality in some of those countries too.
And how long is it going to last?
The dust was forecast to be carried into southern areas of England, including Kent today, and actually it could be seen on satellite images moving across from France and towards us earlier this morning. There are some suggestions that the sky might change the brightest of colours nearer to sunset, but we don't have the strong winds in the south that Europe has witnessed, or unfortunately some of that warmer air. So I think the general feeling is that it won't cause us any significant problems or alter the air quality, and it is also unlikely to be as noticeable by tomorrow.
I've noticed a few spots of rain around this afternoon. Is that likely to cause a problem?
No significant problems. And as we've already discussed, weather watchers don't actually think we have enough of it to affect the visibility here. But if you've had some rain today, or you're more likely to notice the desert dust on your car roofs or bonnets or on the window panes of your house, the majority of the dust is actually about 2 kilometres above the ground level, said the Met Office. But obviously the rain will bring it down. So if you notice any rusty red particles, in particular on shiny surfaces outside, then that's exactly what you're looking at.
Lauren, thanks ever so much. If you do have any pictures, we'd love to see them. You can either share them with us via socials or email them to news@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Kent Online reports.
An update now on a story we brought you last week, and great news. The lights that have been put up along Margate seafront for the filming of a new movie are going to be left there permanently. The area has been transformed by the team behind Empire of Light, starring Olivia Colman and Colin Firth. Production bosses have decided to gift the lights to the town following a campaign to keep them. If you haven't seen them yet, do head to the website to see what they look like and how they illuminate the seafront. There are plans to turn the former BHS store in Tunbridge Tunbridge Wells into a £9 million visitor attraction. Empty retail units at Royal Victoria Place could be converted into a cinema, bowling alley, go-kart track and space for virtual reality gaming. Mini golf and laser tag have also been suggested, and it could open as soon as next year. A new long-distance cycle route is being launched in Kent. The Canty Way, which is named after an ancient tribe, will be 145 miles long and starts in the village of Wye near Ashford. It's designed to be ridden over a few days, taking you through Canterbury, Whitstable and Dover. We're told it should be ready to enjoy from Kent Day, which is the 26th of May. And tickets have gone on sale today for a one-day festival in Maidstone over the long Jubilee Bank holiday weekend. Café Mambo Ibiza Classics will be at Moat Park on June the 2nd. Fatboy Slim's son Woody will be among those appearing.
Kent Online Sport.
Football and Gillingham weren't able to climb out of the relegation zone last night. They're still in the League One drop zone after losing 1-0 to Charlton at the Valley. Manager Neil Harris spoke to us after the final whistle.
Ultimately, it wasn't a game we deserved to lose. I thought we deserved at least a point out of it. I thought Charlton had a lot of the ball in the first half and we were fine with that. We're comfortable without the football as a team at the moment. And as you said to the boys at half time, you know, for 40 minutes, we were fine, not any real major issues. Thought even sort of Stevens in the box in, you know, the first 40 minutes, and we give a really poor goal away. It's an avoidable goal, and we can't afford in the position we're in to give away individual errors. So at half time, maybe just need to be a little bit more aggressive without the ball, and just a little bit more risk taking, get a little bit higher up the pitch. And I thought second half was excellent, really stepped onto Charlton. And ultimately, we had the better of the second half. And all I will say, all I said to my players is they've given me everything tonight. That's all I can ever ask of the smallest group of players I've ever had in my life, I think. All I can ask is everything all the time. And they've done that. And I just said, boys, that my only disappointment tonight is just our lack of quality in the final third. And and I thought we got in some really good areas and just lacked a little bit of creativity and ultimately didn't create enough clear-cut goal-scoring opportunities. When we got into those good areas, we just didn't make enough of 1v1 situations. And I think that's been the story since I've been here in a lot of games. And that's the difference between even when you're playing Charlton, who aren't on a great run, but individually got some excellent players at this level. And ultimately, that's the difference between your Sheffield Wednesdays, your Ipswich, your Wiggins, your Rotherhams, just why they sort of blow the league away. If anybody wants to put in, you know, respond to the ad, anyone's ready, wants to come and train Thursday, everyone's welcome. We just haven't got bodies. You know, the recruitment at the club's been a shambles. The condition of the players isn't good enough, and ultimately it falls on me to get the best out of the players I've got. We'll be down to probably 9 senior players, and adding, no disrespect to Charlie Kelman, Tom Dixon Peters, but they're not senior players. They're players that have come in to help us and boost us, and doing a great job for me. It's where we are at the moment. A positive or a negative tonight, it has to be a positive that we haven't lost ground because the three teams around us all got beat as well. But then the negative is we've got the point we deserve tonight when we'd be at the relegation zone at the moment. It'd be another boost. What I can control at the moment is the mentality of my players and the togetherness in the group, and absolutely first class.
Well, the Gills are in the bottom four on goal difference, but they're still level on points with AFC Wimbledon, who are one place above them. The problem, Wimbledon have got a game in hand, so that doesn't work in Gillingham's favour. The Gills welcome promotion chasing at Sheffield Wednesday to Priestfield on Saturday. On to cricket now, and Kent have confirmed Sam Billings will continue as captain for the new season, but duties will be shared between Daniel Bell Drummond and Jack Leaning when he's away playing in the Indian Premier League. Meantime, Zach Crawley will be hoping for another big score in England's second test against the West Indies. He managed 121 runs in the second innings of their opening game last week, which ended in a draw. Play is getting underway this afternoon. And England's women have kept their hopes of reaching the World Cup semi-finals alive with a win against India. Kent's Tammy Beaumont opened the batting but only managed one run before being bowled out. The defending champions still need to win their final three matches and for other results to go their way to make the last four. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You can also get access to the ad-free Kent Online premium site. Just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with showrooms in Canterbury and Maidstone, offering a range of new and approved used cars, including MG, Seat and Vauxhall.